If you read your newspapers, front pages, or watch your TV channels, prime time, what is the one dateline, that is the place from where a story is being reported, that is most familiar to you these days? That is Singhu. Singhu is this village on the outskirts of Delhi. In fact, it is a village astride the Grand Trunk Road leading into Delhi, say from Punjab and Haryana, from the north, Punjab, Haryana, Kashmir, etc., etc. This is the entry point, and this is where protesting farmers have made their biggest camp. Protesting farmers from many regions, but mostly Punjab and Haryana, they are also essentially or predominantly those from Punjab. Now, this is where journalists go every day and bring you stories. Now, some would call it an encampment of the protesting farmers. Some on TV would call it epicenter, ground zero, etc., etc., words that TV channels like to use, unfortunately. Now, if you leave that all out, look at the stories that come out of there. Stories that come out of there are quite interesting because these are not stories that you will expect from any other farmers' protest or given our stereotype of farming life, because these don't conform to those Mother India type stereotypes. There you find stories of camper beds, a pizza langar, massage chairs, a spa, gyms, a beauty parlor, portable toilets, clinics, pharmacies, and most importantly, libraries and reading rooms. So I see these stories, these visuals every day, and people respond to these in the way their politics directs them to respond. So some would say, oh, ye kya farmer hai, to pizza eating, spa going farmers hai. So they will snigger, but those are people who may be one supporting the farm laws, but more than that, who may be polarized politically as in pro-Modi or anti-Modi. But then there is also the lot that will say that, look, they are so disciplined, so well organized, they don't seek any help from you. In fact, if you go there, they look after you, they are warm, they are hospitable, they give you food, they give you time, they give you affection. So that is the situation right now. When I look at all this, when I've looked at all these visuals, one visual caught my eye, and you will see that visual on our screen. This is visual, a picture that Monisha Mandal, one of our young reporters, and she is gifted with a very fine news photographer's eye, because a news photographer has to capture a moment. So this is a moment from one of these temporary libraries or reading rooms set up at Singhu. Now, this picture is of these three very studious looking, distinguished looking ladies reading books, and they are so intent in reading, they are not even conscious of the camera. It's a beautiful picture. Behind them on the wall, you find a signboard. And what does the signboard say? It says in Gurmukhi and in English. By the way, I do read Gurmukhi. In Gurmukhi and in English, Urta Punjab Nahi, Padta Punjab. Now, to me, that's a very touching statement, because this tells you that there is more to Punjab than the stereotype that was built in 2016 with that movie called Urta Punjab. That movie was as if everybody in Punjab was high on heroin, opium, smack, chitta, or even cocaine. It was as if no able-bodied person in Punjab is now sane in the sense of not being drug addled. So everybody was drug addled or involved with drug mafias. Everybody was compromised, politicians, policemen, young people were doing drugs, their parents were constantly trading in drugs, and they were doing terrible things like gang raping women, treating their Bihari labor badly. It was a terrible portrait of Punjab. So I felt happy and felt proud as a son, as a child of united Punjab. Punjab only got divided in 1966 into Haryana, Punjab and Himachal Pradesh. I felt happy that now at least some people are showing this self-respect to say that we were not Urta Punjab. And then it made me reflect, because it occurred to me that many of the same people who had gone ahead with this Urta Punjab stereotype were also now quite happily celebrating Padta Punjab. Now, who are the forces supporting the farmers' protests? It's perfectly legitimate to support them. There is all the opposition parties, fine. There is Aam Aadmi Party, very important. They put up toilets there. They've also given them free Wi-Fi, very good idea. Both are very useful these days and very, very much needed these days. So thank you very much. That's fine. A whole lot of sort of intellectual left and sections of the media, etc. The same lot had very easily bought into the Urda Punjab portrayal just 4 years back. So what has changed with Punjab in 4 years? Has the drug problem disappeared? How has Urda become Parta? Has Amrinder Singh in these 4 years done so spectacularly? I don't even think that's a claim that Amrinder Singh would make. So remember that Urda Punjab came out in 2016 when Punjab was heading for state elections. That is when Akali Dal BJP government coalition had been in power for 2 terms. None of the economic indicators or social indicators were looking pink in Punjab. They were all terrible. They were all bad and sliding. So the mood was bad and there was a drug problem. But it was nothing. It did not have the remotest resemblance to what that movie made it out to be. That movie was like everybody in Punjab had so much money that they were going to these madcap concerts and then snorting cocaine. In fact, Punjab people would say, look, ye to ab Delhi wale aur Bombay wale aur Goa wale ameer log karte ho in your bars and your clubs. In Punjab, who has the money, if at all people do opium, some charas, some stuff like that? There is a drug problem, but nothing like this. It's not as if Punjab's finished. And if Punjab wasn't finished then Punjab has not suddenly become all virtuous right now. So there is a little twist there that for a lot of people, they can paint you as it suits them at that point of time or as it suits their politics at that point of time. That is the essence of this week's national interest argument. Now, if you remember that film, it had a politician that mimicked the brother-in-law of Sukhbir Singh Badal, at that point the deputy chief minister, the ruling family of Punjab. It also painted a doomsday portrait of Punjab where everybody was either high, a drunk, a gang rapist, a smuggler, a double crosser, or a politician, or if you were a politician or a cop, you were complicit with drug mafiosi. Truth to tell, it got the entire country to focus on Punjab. It upset many in the state. And the response was, as I said earlier, response was, we have problems, but we are not like this. This is not the right portrait. Now, we know what happened after that. After that, there was an election. People of Punjab did reject this portrait. There was concern about drugs, but so they rejected Akali BJP coalition quite roundly. They dumped them also because they had run the state into the ground. They dumped them and they chose not Aam Aadmi Party, but they chose Congress Party. Aam Aadmi Party did well. Now, there's one more thing. Feature in that film that sticks to my mind. That feature is the character played by Alia Bhatt. She is Bauria, a Bihari laborer, migratory Bihari laborer, who is treated badly, who is forced to use drugs, who is gang raped, who is trafficked, etc., etc. So once again, if you dissect it, it's like all the young in Punjab were doing drugs and all their parents and uncles and everybody was caught up with drug mafiosi and they were treating their Bihari labor in an inhuman manner. Now, if you ask anybody in Punjab, if you spend some time on the farms of Punjab or talk to people who've come to Singhu, they will tell you that this is completely wrong in the sense that Punjabi farmers and Haryanvi farmers, they rely greatly on labor, migratory labor that comes from Uttar Pradesh and Bihar. The last thing they will do is treat them badly. In fact, they look after them to the extent that in Punjab, we have instances where villagers, Punjabi villagers, remember, this is the area which had complete exchange of populations between Hindu Sikhs on one side and Muslims on the other. Even there, they built mosques and they look after those mosques so that Muslims among their migratory labor don't feel lost. Even when the lockdown happened, Punjab and Haryana farmers really looked after their migratory labor. They made sure they were always fed. They made sure they were not put to any harm or danger or of fear. So they were, in fact, Punjab and Haryana farmers treated their migratory laborers much better than much richer industrialists and other employers in Delhi, Mumbai, Bangalore, Chennai, Kolkata, etc. did. So also as people who exploit this cheap, poor labor, that was not correct. So this signboard, as I saw it, that was a Punjabi statement to say, we are not what you painted us to be. There is a serious side to us. That is the predominant side to us. We have aberrations, but this is not it. We are neither how you portrayed us in that film and generally a stereotype of a drug-addled border state, nor are we what you portray us in your Bhangra pop stuff, because we are not doing Bhangra pop only all the time. We are hardworking people. We also read. So this is now an interesting and important statement. In fact, if you go and talk to these farmers, if you're a journalist, you go to them and they look after you. They give you warmth, hospitality, food. They let you take your selfie videos while eating their langar. Every journalist who goes there does something like that, senior, from senior most to the youngest. They are treated with respect and generosity. If you ask any of those farmers that do you treat your migratory labor badly, they will give you a reply that will be something like, are you mad? Are you nuts? Have you lost your mind? They are valuable to us. वो हमारे हैं, हम उनका ध्यान रखते हैं. The fact is that they actually do it, they do look after them quite well. The funny thing is that many of the people who put their sort of intellectual energies or creative energies behind the Urta Punjab portrait are also the same people who are now celebrating this Parda Punjab transformation. Remember Diljit Dosanjh? He gave the voice, the music, the verse, the character to the film Urta Punjab. He today is a very vocal supporter of the farm protests. So I have no view on him. He's a creative person. I'm just talking of a portrayal of a state, a region and its people and what the implications are. Now, which will bring us to the more substantive part of the argument. Now, it's true that Punjabis have their apprehensions, their concerns, their distrust on the farm bills. A lot of the farmers do, more in Punjab and Haryana, because Punjab, Haryana and Madhya Pradesh and to some extent Maharashtra are states which benefit from minimum support price regime. So there are those concerns, and those are legitimate concerns. But also in Punjab, right since the days of Emperor Jahangir, there is also a strong mindset of defiance of Delhi Darbar. Emperor Jahangir, we know, had executed Guru Arjun Dev, the fifth Guru of the Sikhs, at Chandni Chowk, where Gurdwara Sisgan stands now. Since then, there have been many wars, battles, protests coming right up to the 21st century that have been seen as Punjab's defiance of Delhi Darbar. In the mid-19th century, the Punjabis, Sikhs essentially, fought a series of battles against the British. Very bitter, vicious battles where they fought heroically, called the Three Anglo-Sikh Wars. That also was a battle against the Delhi Darbar. After that, the Gurdwara movement, many other movements, all took place like that, including the campaign against the emergency. In fact, Punjab over the decades has been India's most federalist state. So the Anandpur Sahib resolution that the Akali Dal passed, I think in 1974 at Anandpur Sahib on Baisakhi Day at the Gurdwara, that demanded a federal structure which today would be described as Article 370 plus plus plus. That led to bad consequences because central government was not going to give it. So it again became Punjab versus the center, Punjab versus Delhi. It went on. It went out of control. Bhindranwale rose. Bhindranwale then disappeared. Then other people rose. In that period between 1981 to 1993, Punjab lost several tens of thousands of lives. But at the same time, a lot of Punjab's entrepreneurship, capital and talent also left the state. That's how Ludhiana, which was among the few cities in India described at various points of time as Manchester of the East, lost its entrepreneurial energy. So the best entrepreneurial families from Ludhiana almost fully shifted to Delhi. And this is not just Hindus like, say, Mittals and Munjals and the rest. It is also many of the Sikh families. Now, what happened as a result was that economic reform of 1991 and the industrial boom, industrial and services boom that it generated left Punjab completely behind. Punjab was not able to make use of it at all. So Punjab was condemned or left to be a purely agrarian state. That lasted for some time because it was sort of an assured return, low return, but assured return for your work. But soon enough, other states were catching up with Punjab. So by 2002-2003, until now, Punjab always had the comfort ke bhai jo bhi ho, we are the richest state in India by way of per capita income. Now 2002-2003 was the last year, unfortunately, when Punjab had the highest per capita income in the country. That is 17-18 years back. That is when, by that time, other states had begun to catch up with Punjab because they had taken advantage of the post-1991 entrepreneurial boom. So a state which was number one in India forever until 2002-2003 is now, hold your breath, number 13 in India. So you might say Goa is a small state, but Punjab is about one third of Goa's per capita income. And Punjab may take pride in being 3.5 times richer than Bihar in terms of per capita income, but it's one third of Goa. Not just that, even Haryana, which inherited none of Punjab's river waters, which inherited the driest part of the old United Punjab, is today much richer than Punjab. It's almost more than 50%. It has a 50% plus lead over Punjab in per capita incomes. Himachal, again a state came out of Punjab, is richer than Punjab. Maharashtra is way ahead of Punjab. I will count for you the states that are ahead of Punjab now in per capita income. Goa, Sikkim, Delhi, Chandigarh, Haryana, Karnataka. You might say some of these are small states. Haryana, Karnataka, Telangana, Kerala, Uttarakhand, Gujarat, Tamil Nadu, Maharashtra, Himachal Pradesh. So number 13 comes Punjab. So 1 to 13 in 17 years. Somebody has to reflect on why this has happened and why something has to be done about it. Now, even if you look at just agriculture, and I will show you a couple of graphics. Even if you look at just agricultural growth, so Punjab, and you might say Punjab is an agrarian state, they put the food on our plates, roti chawal, fine, good idea. But how is farming growing in Punjab? In the existing regime, without the new laws, between 2004-05 and 2019, in the 15 years, Punjab's agriculture has grown by exactly 2% on an average, exactly 2%. I know that people in Punjab get upset when I compare this with Bihar, but Bihar, on the other hand, in the same period has grown by 4.8%. These are authentic figures, 4.8%. And look at some other states. Haryana, which came out of Punjab, is 3.8%. This is farm growth, agricultural growth. And Haryana is about twice as much as Punjab. Even Himachal is 2.3%, more than Punjab. Uttar Pradesh is 2.9%. And then you come to states like, say, Maharashtra, which are predominantly an agricultural states. Even that state, and we are only looking at agricultural growth, it's already richer than Punjab, about 25% richer than Punjab, and yet its agricultural growth is about 3.6% averaging over these 15 years. So even in the area of farming, Punjab is now getting left behind. So this data, whichever way you look at it, tells you a harsher story. It's not Urda, Parda. It is not defined in two words or maybe one adjective. This is a complex story. Punjab has got left behind because it got stuck with only farming. Punjab's farmers have capital. Punjab's farmers' capital is their land. Must they be only farming on that land? I would like to see a protest in Punjab or an agitation in Punjab demanding freedom for the farmers to use their land. See the way even Haryana has done it. Haryana now allows its farmers, especially close to the highways, and they benefit greatly from it, to rent their land for making godowns. Now, Delhi is a big place. A lot of the goods that Amazon and Flipkart and whoever else delivers to you has to be stored in godowns around Delhi. So Haryana has now built quite an economy in logistics and godowns, and farmers have benefited from it. So farmers in Punjab should be asking not just for the endless continuation of MSP. MSP will continue and should continue for the foreseeable future. But that itself is not working for Punjab, because that itself is now leading to a situation where Punjab has fallen behind, and it's being left further and further behind by the more progressive states. So Punjab needs to rediscover its entrepreneurial impulse. Punjabi farmers have to make better use of their land and their sense of enterprise. If they can go to Canada and UK, etc., and do entrepreneurial stuff, why can't they do it in their own state? So that is where the state needs to go. Otherwise, we know that MSP subsidies will continue for many years and should continue for many years. I have no difference with that. But it's for the people of Punjab to decide that do they want to be doing only that for all their lives? Because sometimes they will get excessive criticism, sometimes they will get excessive adulation. So, urta or padta. But if they remain caught up in that, and don't look at this data, and don't get worried looking at the harsh reality of Punjab's economy and Punjab's growth, then I'm afraid they will end up neither Urta nor Padta Punjab, but they will conform to a third Punjabism, which again Bollywood has made universally known all over India, and that is Fukra Punjab.